Do you have a car or a boat or a motorcycle that you're ready to send on its way? Well, send it over to us. You can donate your car, boat, or motorcycle to WSHU, and you'll be supporting the programs you rely on. And yes, we will even tow it for free. It's an easy way to make a big difference. Start your donation at WSHU.org, and thanks.
This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Suffolk's DA says they're still working on cold cases that could be linked to the accused Long Island serial killer. Connecticut AG William Tong is running for re-election. Bruce Blakeman sues the state board that blocked him from public campaign funds. Plus, it's the latest from WSHU's Good at Heart. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. As we reported here yesterday, the accused Long Island serial killer has changed his plea to guilty for the murders of seven women and admitted to an eighth. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio has more.
Rex Huerman of Massapequa Park told a judge Wednesday he killed and strangled the women and admitted to an eighth murder. Prosecutors say they're still investigating other unsolved murders in the area where Huerman's victims were discovered. Melissa Kahn is the sister of Maureen Brainerd Barnes, a victim from Norwich, Connecticut.
To every family out there still searching, still waiting, still holding on, please do not give up hope. Even when it feels impossible, even when the years pass and the silence grow heavy, keep going. Your loved ones matter. They are not forgotten, and one day answers can come.
Huerman's victims were scattered island-wide, including at Gilgo Beach and Fire Island, as far back as 1993. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
Connecticut Attorney General William Tong has announced he's running for a third term in November. WSHU's Janice Roman has more.
Tong was elected Attorney General in 2018 after working 18 years as a litigator in state and federal court. As Attorney General, he's taken cases related to state's utility rate increases and the opioid and addiction industry. And he'd been vocally opposed to several moves made by President Donald Trump. The state attorney general's office has filed more than 50 lawsuits against the administration. Last year, Tong was elected president of the National Association of Attorneys General. In a statement to announce his re-election campaign, he highlighted his bipartisan leadership nationally. Janice Roman, WSHU News.
Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman is suing a state board that blocked him from accessing millions of dollars in matching funds. The New York Public News Network's John Campbell reports the stakes are high for Governor Hochul's Republican opponent.
The Public Campaign Finance Board blocked Blakeman from participating in a state program where small campaign donations are matched 6-1. The board's Democrats ruled the Nassau County executive and his running mate didn't file the proper paperwork. Blakeman's attorney argues the decision was arbitrary and political. He's asking a state Supreme Court justice in Albany to overturn it. If he wins, Blakeman's campaign would be eligible for up to $3.5 million in matching funds. He had less than $2 million on hand last month. In Albany, I'm John Campbell for the New York Public News Network.
At the Palace Theater in Waterbury, it's more than just performances, it's a community. That story is coming up.
WSHU will celebrate America 250 with a weekly series focusing on the American experience in music. You'll hear music, musicians, and musical institutions that have contributed to the rich, vibrant musical life in the U.S. throughout its history. Listen for The American Experience every Tuesday at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. on WSHU.
A strike is looming on the LIRR. It would commence on May 16th and be the first work stoppage in three decades. Union officials say the strike would mean chaos for commuters on the island. The unions want a 14.5% raise. The MTA has offered 9.5%. U.S. Representative John Larson from Connecticut has filed 13 articles of impeachment against President Trump. They accuse Trump of going around Congress to go to war in Iran and militarizing law enforcement for immigration actions. Republicans control the House, so the articles of impeachment are unlikely to progress. Long Beach has lifted its ban on boardwalk alcohol sales. The city council voted to do so unanimously. Council officials say the rules had gone unenforced for more than a decade and that only a few establishments will be capable of selling liquor. The NCAA men's basketball final between Michigan and UConn averaged more than 18 million viewers, a 7-year record. The tournament as a whole averaged 10.9 million viewers, up 7% from last year. The Palace Theater in Waterbury, Connecticut, is programmed to connect with the local community. There are after-school programs, high school internships, and even theater history classes for adults. And on Saturday, April 18th, the Palace will present Tragedy to Triumph: Stories of Hope. Our own Randy Kay will be hosting the event, but the woman behind the theater's robust roster of offerings is Sherry Marcucci. She's the director of special projects and curated programs, and she spoke with Randy as part of the WSHU podcast, Good at Heart.
There's so much going on at the Palace at any given time. What are you bringing in?
Primarily, what I have created is something called the Spotlight Program. And it started before COVID. And I was previously the marketing officer for the theater for 17 years. When COVID, when we were getting ready to come back, I said, I just don't want to do that anymore. I want to do something a little more creative in that capacity. So long story short, I had already created something called Second Act, and it was wildly successful. And it's people telling their stories about what they're doing in the second acts of their life. So I thought, let's build on that. And thank God my boss and our board was fully supportive of this idea. So I've created a whole platform of programs that we hope inspire, we hope educate, we hope they're created to, you know, lift people's spirits. And boy, oh boy, I don't know about you, but I know that I need to feel hopeful. And that's what all of our programs do. And they're in a theater. Theater is storytelling, so it fits right along. So I've created, besides Second Act, I've created something called Community, where Tragedy to Triumph falls under that series. Upstaged, which is about theater, but not necessarily just about the performance aspect, but other parts of how we create theater. And we have also an Immigrant Story series. And for me, when people tell their story, when I hear someone's story from a different perspective, it helps me have more, be more empathetic, increases my knowledge, like, oh, I didn't know that. And I think today, especially, we make snap, you know, judgments based on little sound bites that we hear all over social media or, you know, wherever. And it's like, no, I need to see this in its full context to understand it and hear it first person. That's why I am such a believer in, you know, storytelling, in that model of communication.
Yeah, I love that. And as an actor myself, I know that when you play a role, and I think this happens if you read fiction too, you're inside the person. You're thinking their thoughts or you're reading their thoughts, and that's very different from watching someone on a movie. So when you're in theater, you're immersed in the experience, and I think theater is a and storytelling are great ways toward empathy. So let that brings us to Tragedy to Triumph. This is the second annual of this?
It is. It is. And Randy, you've been a part of it since last year. We had a sold out event. The impetus for that was to take several people and put them on a panel and hear stories of tragic or unfortunate circumstances they've encountered in their lives and how they've moved beyond them. Because it's one thing, you know, to hear a tragic story and you go, oh, and that's so sad. I want to be lifted up. Right. I want to know how somebody gets beyond those circumstances. So last year it was an all-female panel. This year we've incorporated men as well, because they need to be heard too. So we've put together five people. One started a homeless organization because her twin brother became homeless, ended up committing suicide, and she was so distraught. And I don't want to give all the taglines away, but there's more to her story and how she ended up forming this organization. Another young man, he was 33 years old, had just married the love of his life. Actually, when they got engaged, he had a brain tumor. And so at 33 years old, newly married, he becomes a widower. And how he moved on. And he said something interesting to me. And millennials today, that seems to be a missing piece for them. He moved on by creating new community. And that was through actually a softball team, I think a co-ed softball team in New York City. And our millennials today, I know I have two of them, so I can attest to this. They are so isolated. If they don't have a built-in community, a spouse or a significant other, and they want to be nesters.
And I don't want to give away all the stories. So right. Those are two amazing ones. And I'm thrilled to be the moderator of the panel. And so it's, you know, we ask people to tell their stories, but also how they came out of it. And it's a lovely luncheon. Also, you get beautiful food. And are tickets still available or is it sold out already?
Tickets are still available. It's Saturday, April 18th. And it's from 12 to about 3 o'clock. Randy, not only were you the fabulous moderator last year and again, and shared so honestly your story, but you're also going to perform a little bit of your one-woman show that I've had the pleasure of seeing.
Thank you.
This whole event is only, can I say cost? It's
sure.
Very cost-effective. It's $25.
I mean, that includes lunch.
It's a steal.
And being
and
uplifted.
I have to thank our supporter, our funder for this, the Connecticut Community Foundation, for being able to present this in an affordable way.
Wonderful. Well, I am so excited to be moderating and to be part of it. I can't wait to hear the stories again. I felt uplifted last year. And again, there's something called collective energy, where people come together, have an experience together, and when the group disbands, and that includes the audience, not just the cast of a play, then you take a little piece of that energy home with you. And I hope that energy for tragedy to triumph includes hope and faith.
It does. And I want to shout out to Bluebird Counseling, who will be on hand just in the event. Something that's talked about triggers somebody in the audience, and maybe they need to talk to somebody. And so there'll be some people there, very inconspicuous, but.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Very well thought out.
Yeah.
Well, I hope to see you there. And I think it's just so wonderful, all the things. And I encourage everybody, whatever your local theater is, check their website. It's more than just the main stage shows, although those are amazing as well. So, Sherry Marcucci, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Oh, thank you for this opportunity, Randy. My pleasure.
And there's so much more to the conversation with Sherry over at WSHU.org. For the news you trust and music you love, listen on the radio, online at WSHU.org, or download the free WSHU app. I'm Sabrina Garone. Thank you so much for being with me today. Have a great rest of your evening, and I'll speak with you tomorrow.